We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In surgery from multiple injuries to his legs, not life-threatening. No jaws of life used to get him out of the car. They got him out of the car via the window shield.
Mm.
The windshield? How do you say it?
The windshield.
Why do I say window shield? Windshield. I guess I say it wrong.
Why do you say window shield?
I don't know.
That would involve me getting into your brain.
Windshield.
Windshield.
There you go.
Window shield.
Windshield.
I mean, window shield does make sense, but no, it's a windshield.
Windshield. There
wind
you go.
Windshield.
Windshield.
Yeah, they're updating his status in about an hour. I guess it's the L.A. PD chief of police that's going to make that announcement at 6 o'clock. Kind of give us an update on Tiger. We know he's hospitalized. We know he was undergoing surgery for this crash. It's not life-threatening, thank God.
No.
So more details emerge as the hours and minutes go by on Tiger. But luckily, he's okay in the grand scheme of things.
So TMZ has learned Tiger was staying at a hotel where a major network television show was being shot. Production sources tell TMZ, when the director arrived just before 7 a.m., Tiger was driving his SUV very fast as he was leaving the property and almost hit the director's car. The director was shaken enough to tell production staff about it after he parked. A crew member saw Tiger as he got into the SUV at the hotel, told TMZ, once Tiger got in his vehicle, there was a delay in driving off, and he appeared agitated and impatient.
Huh.
Crew member says once the delay was over, Tiger took off fast.
And this was right before the crash took place?
This
is in the morning when they noticed this kind of action.
Correct. According to TMZ.
According to, well, TMZ, unfortunately. They usually get a lot of things right.
Always right.
I mean, they very rarely have ever get things wrong.
Law enforcement sources tell TMZ that Woods was alert enough at the scene of the accident to ask first responders to have his manager pick up his stuff.
Wow.
Cops have not found anything illicit inside the vehicle.
Well, it sounds based on that story.
So no drugs.
He was pissed off about something.
According to that.
According to TMZ, yes. According to that TMZ report you just read, that he was angry about something. God knows what.
Yeah, there you go. Here's Jimmy in Connecticut on the fan. Jimmy, good afternoon. How are you? Hello, Jim.
Hey, babe.
No.
No, Jim. How about Glenn in Ramsey, New Jersey? Glenn, how are you?
Good afternoon. Craig, welcome back.
Thank you.
Mishta, I hope your recovery is going well.
It is so far, one day at a time, but thank you.
I got to tell you, I like the show. I like what the guests you have on, and I wish it was a little bit longer than a half hour, but it's a great Saturday lead-in to Roberts. Now, Roberts,
yes.
I'm going to take you to task.
Take me. Take me, baby.
Okay. What is a couple of things. First off, okay, Jerry Kuzman is probably one of the top 3 to 4 pitchers in Mets history.
Okay.
Behind Seaver and DeGrom.
Okay.
Okay. His number deserves to be retired.
Well, but wait, hold on. We are going to have a debate that
we're not going to debate it, please.
No. It's not a debate, Craig. Just hear me out. We have a difference in how we want to retire numbers.
Jerry Kuzman.
I want the guy to be a Hall of Famer. Jerry Kuzman was a tremendous Met. He is not a Hall of Famer.
Killing the show.
Period. We disagree. We can move on. I disagree with Craig.
Yes.
He said Keith. He said Doc. He said Darryl. I like Hall of Famers. You don't need them to be Hall of Famers. I do, with rare exceptions, one being David Wright.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Saturday mornings, Evan Roberts,
monologue.
He brought it up.
I know.
I'm responding.
Tommy's fault for ever letting that call get through. But he said nice things about me, so probably that's why. Eric's in Rivervale, New Jersey on the Fan. Eric, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Craig, Evan, how are you, gentlemen?
Great.
What's up?
So I called earlier just to chime in on the Tiger story because obviously it's kind of the news of the day.
Yep.
And well, I think for anybody that's an avid golf fan like I am, it's a sad story. But I just wanted to say, I mean, I appreciate the way you guys have been covering it. It's kind of, I mean, whatever news outlet you choose, there's been a lot of narratives that have been going out, but you guys have been giving out facts. So I really appreciate that because it seems like, as the more and more news comes out, the more positive it seems to be with him being alert.
I think that's a very fair fair comment to make. Yes.
So I appreciate that, and you know, secondarily off of that point is I'm not sure what you did to Andrew Marchand.
Yeah.
But that dude just like does he listen to the radio? Does he listen to the show? Does he listen to anything? Like, what's he writing?
He claims he listens. I don't care how many times he says it's not personal. He has a personal thing with me. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. It clearly colors everything he writes about this show, which is sad and pathetic. But it is what it is. We're big boys. He's got his job to do. Do it. Well, we have our job to do.
Let me just say this. Forget about today. That doesn't bother me. He ran a hit piece against you last week, and that's what it was.
He did.
It was a hit piece. So I don't really give a crap about, you know, the ratings and how he wants to analyze it. Honestly, that doesn't bother me. But it did kind of piss me off when I got home last week.
Yeah.
And I read what was cheap shots, what was incorrect. He was too lazy to explain your point about Jeff Passan. That's what he said. He wrote an article in which he said, I'm too lazy to explain Craig's point on it. So if he needs a further explanation, I can do it for you. Maybe you can do it again. Or maybe the people that listen to the show can do it for you. So personally, I don't give a crap about what was written about today. Yes. But I did take it to heart when I saw the garbage that was written about you last week.
I appreciate that.
Including the laziness of, yes. I can't explain Craig's point about you. It ain't that complicated.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
My point was quite coherent. Yes.
And the other thing that pissed me off, because now you got me going, not you, I guess it was Eric.
All right.
Was, and I'm not even going to refer to the line, but it was the second line of the article that pissed me off too. Because what the hell does he know about your financial situation? What is he, like your banker?
Yeah.
So this stuff today, that's whatever. That's the toy store stuff. That's the fun stuff. But that was what we call a hit piece. That's what was written last week.
Well, he wrote a
hit
piece.
That annoyed me.
Against me last week. I don't know why, but he decided to take pot shots at me last week. And then we do well in the ratings, and rather than just acknowledge it and give us credit for doing well in 1 month of ratings, he decided to try to explain it away in some convoluted, incoherent manner that is not based in any reality. So he's got an agenda against me. He could deny that as much as he'd like, but he does, and it doesn't change one bit what we do here. We don't work for Andrew Marchand. He's just one guy. I've been doing this for 30 years. You've been doing it for 20. Andrew Marchand writes what he wants to write. What am I going to do? Like, the story is this. We won. That's it. Period. Stop. 1 month. It's only 1 month. We won a month. We didn't win two. We didn't win three. 1 month in, we won. And that's the story. There's a winner and there's a loser. And 1 month in, we're very happy. We won. They lost. Winner, loser. No other story. I don't hear about lineups. I don't hear about, you know, anything else. Report the facts. We won. They lost. Winner, loser. Black, white, up, down, left, right. It ain't that hard. Do your job. We won. They lost. 1 month. Big picture.
Well said.
We have to win another month.
Right.
And then we got to win another month. But there's only 1 month that's in. Winners, losers. Winners, losers. I don't hear why or how. Just report the facts. We won. They lost. It's not that complicated. It's not like some new kind of math we don't understand. You have a choice. One side won, one side lost. We won, they lost. Winners, losers. That's it. Well, you know, their lineup. We don't go against any other lineup. Talk about our midday show. Talk about the morning show. That you want to talk about bad lineups? They have a lousy lineup. And our other shows benefit from that, as I did for 10 years. But head-to-head.
As I did for 10 years, yeah, too. 15 years.
Head-to-head. Winners, losers. Somebody won, somebody lost. And that's it. And if we lose a month, say the same thing about us, that we lost. But there's only 1 month in, and we won. Now, if you don't want to tell that story, because you've got a personal agenda against me, tell the audience, be honest, you don't like me. Because you took a hit piece against me last week, and the ratings came in, and we did something that you didn't think we were going to do. And it was very close. It's a competition. We're going up against a 20-year program. They're good at what they do. And this has nothing to do with them. It's about the coverage of it.
Mm.
Winners, losers. That's it. Thank you, Evan.
You're welcome.
There's these allegedly objective columnists with their agendas, which is so transparent. It's really, frankly, I thought more of him. Somewhat pathetic.
I mean, that was rough.
It really is.
That was...
It really is. Yes. Oh, we crush Max Kellerman. We better crush Max Kellerman. If we don't, we're doing something wrong. Right? Winner, loser. That's all. And hopefully that doesn't change.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because if we lose in February, we'll tell you. Yeah, we lost. But of course, there won't be any, it's not because of the lineup.
No.
It's because I'm mean to Evan. Yeah, that's what it'll be. Yeah, it's going to be. If we ever lose again, it'll be my fault. When we win, it's because the lineup sucks.
When we lose, you're a meanie.
Yeah. That's my fault. I talk too much. There's not enough sports. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing. We have a nice little early W, and it's, didn't see that coming, so what am I going to do? Oh, it's the lineup's fault. Okay. Whatever makes you happy. But remember, there's a scorecard. We're only 1 month in. Things could change. But 1 month in, there's a winner. There's a loser. We won. They lost. That's the only story there is. It's black and white. Winner, loser.
I think you explained it well.
I got it. Yeah. Here's Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my
great
call. I just wanted to double back to... Evan was right. You need to share your popcorn, Craigie, with Evan.
No.
Gio does cry a little bit, and he does have an English bulldog.
Okay. That makes Evan's that's statement better, yes.
Thank you.
But he gets me. He gets
definitely share the popcorn with Evan. That's he's exactly right.
Here's number the problem. Here's the problem, Mike.
Watch,
yeah.
I'm sorry?
Well, there's a problem with me sharing the popcorn. The entire Knick fan base would lose total respect for me if I shared
Craig,
the popcorn.
Craig, I look out for the Knick fan base.
No
I
popcorn.
Told the Knick fan base the Porzingis trade was great. You're welcome. I told you don't trade for Russell Westbrook. You're welcome. I may not like your team, but I talk fairly about your team.
You want us to lose tonight.
Okay, I'm being honest.
No popcorn.
You want me to lie to you?
Yeah,
you want me to pretend?
One quick question, Evan.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to watch Things to Do in Denver when you're dead this weekend?
So, he didn't watch that.
Friday.
No, I remember the phone call, and I looked it up, and the reviews for it were very, 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 very bad. Now, that's not a reason for me not to watch it. I want to make that clear. But it did turn me off, especially when there's so many other things right now that me and my wife are binging. Let me mention Riverdale. Can I mention Craig? Can I mention Riverdale?
You did, yes.
What a show. I just got to the point where they jumped 7 years. And Archie's in the military, and now Veronica is married to this douche named Chad, and I don't know what the hell's going on with Betty, but this show's not, and Jughead gave up his hat. What is going on here? What are we doing? But the point is, I can't stop watching.
Tiger Woods' car has now been raised up by a trailer of some kind. It's dangling in the air, and they're going to move it over to a flatbed tow truck. And then they'll bring it to the police impound lot, and I'm sure they'll search it thoroughly for... They're really searching for drugs.
Right.
Or booze, or pills of some kind. And then they'll do a check on the different parts of the car with the damages, so they can at least fill out their report on that. Tiger, as far as we know, I believe is still in surgery, but that's all we know. And, we also know that there's multiple injuries to his legs.
Yes, and it's not life-threatening. And he didn't lose consciousness.
Right. Well, he at least was awake when they got to him.
When they got, right.
Theoretically, I guess he could have, right?
I mean, he could have, but you'd have to think that, I don't know. I mean, when he goes into a crash like that, does he have access to his phone to even, like, make a call and call the police and do something? Or is it just noticeable that here's this car flipped over on the side of the road? Because it's 7:30 in the morning. Who knows if there's any cars around? Right. Or how many people are driving around at that point?
Yeah, well, listen, the director, I guess, of this commercial shoot or whatever they were filming at that hotel said that Tiger damn near hit him.
Mm.
So if you follow the TMZ line of thinking,
right,
something pissed him off.
Yes. He sounds like he was road raging a little bit.
Yes. That's what it does sound like that.
Yes.
But that's not based on any fact at all. That's based on different stories that are now coming through, a variety of sources. I know it seems like, why would you believe TMZ? Tell me the last time TMZ got it wrong.
They tend to be very accurate.
And they're very well connected out in Los Angeles and California when it comes to police reports and police happenings. You know, they're the ones that, of course, had the Kobe Bryant story. You know, they don't get stuff wrong. They just don't.
Well, I think the guy who's talking at 6 o'clock was the guy from the Kobe story.
Alex Villanueva.
Isn't that where?
I don't know. You'd have to tell me.
I seem to remember him from the... Am I remembering that incorrectly, guys? C-Mac, Luke? I don't know if you call that at all.
He's talking from the Lomita Sheriff Station.
Yeah, I think I remember him during the Kobe thing, but you know, we'll look that up too.
So that's coming up in about 45 minutes. We'll carry it, at least the start of it, and hope that there's some good news regarding Tiger Woods' recovery. And it's got nothing to do with golf now. Or playing the Masters,
no.
Which seems immediately off the table. It's got to do with how bad was the injury and what kind of surgery was it?
Sure. And what happened? I mean, the what happened is going to be a big story now over the next couple of days, figuring that out.
You know, if you're in law enforcement, I can help us out with that. How soon do they talk to Tiger? Beyond what? You know, I think, like, when they get to the scene.
Right.
Where's it hurt? You know, that kind of stuff.
It's all about his safety first,
right?
I think.
But do you think they say to him at the scene what happened? Or do they wait till he comes out of surgery?
My guess would be after surgery, because isn't the number one priority, especially when you're having to take him out of a windshield to get him out, all about his health in that moment? And
for sure.
Yeah, you try to reconnect it. And who knows how much he's going to remember about it?
Well, I know it's firefighters that got him out
of the
car. But you know there's going to be sheriff deputies there. Although it's the firefighters that essentially act as the EMTs in that spot, I suppose.
Mm.
But I wonder when you start asking them questions about what happened.
Yeah.
They may have done it already, as far as we know.
I can't imagine that. I would think so? It's after you're resting comfortably, after you've had surgery or what have you.
Tiger, we're going to come in. We've got to ask you some questions.
Yeah, I can't imagine you doing that now.
You don't think it's at the scene?
No.
If he's conscious at the scene?
No.
You don't say to him, what happened?
Look, I could be dead wrong. I'm certainly no officer. I'm using logic to say no. But that's something you discuss at a later time once he's okay.
Well, the sheriff's deputies obviously showed up before he got transported to the hospital. You have to believe that.
Well, they had to get him out of the car, though.
Well, the firefighters come. They extricate him from the car.
Right. So he's out of the car.
Now,
where is he going?
Within 30 seconds, it is Eldrick Woods. Everybody knows who that is.
Right.
How long do you think it took a sheriff deputy to get his ass over there? Pretty. I think they were for all of us.
Yeah. Of course.
Right. It's a 911 call.
Quick.
So there's a cop there for sure. So if he's conscious, I would think they probably question him in the back of the ambulance, even
or in the helicopter they're taking him.
Or
to.
Did they airlift him?
I don't know. I think it was an airlift.
I think that's what Michael Rapaport had. That it was an airlift.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does he know?
Well, he's out in L.A. Maybe he's watching Fox News L.A. I have no idea.
Who knows.
Now, that's scary to me, man.
My gut would be no. That's not something you're discussing right away.
Hey, Frank is in Kings Point. He's a retired detective. He can help us out on that. Frank, how does that whole thing work?
What's up, my brothers?
Hey.
If he's conscious right away, they start asking him questions. If there's any criminality involved and he wants an attorney, all questioning has to stop.
So would they say to him, have you been drinking? Are you taking pills or anything like that?
They can, absolutely. They could ask him anything they want. It's up to him if he wants to answer or not. It's much like when they offer you a breathalyzer, if you're DWI and you refuse to take it, that's admission of guilt.
Got it.
So anything that he says or doesn't say is going to go down in the report.
But I guess my question is, how soon would you start asking questions? ASAP?
Immediately, on the scene.
Really? But even as he's...
You're asking questions.
Even as he's in potential pain and they're rescuing him from his car right away, they're going to start asking questions about what happened?
No, nothing like that, Evan. I mean, a little common sense is involved here.
So when are you asking? Then when are you talking to him about it?
Well, first of all, you're going to ask the witnesses if they saw anything, what happened. Then you're going to ask him. If he's okay, if he's conscious and talking, you're going to ask him what happened.
Got it. Yeah, so once you know you've got him out of harm's way and you've got him whatever you need to do to get him, you know, his body in the right place, then you start grilling him as much as you can. I got it.
It's interesting.
Absolutely. And if there's alcohol on his breath or he's, on the influence of drugs, the cuffs go on him right there and then, no matter what the injuries, you cuff him up right there.
Right there. Wow. Unless it's life-threatening, obviously. Right. I get it.
One thing that's interesting.
7 in the morning, let's knock on wood, it's not booze-related.
Well,
right. 7 a.m., I mean, that'd be a problem.
One thing I'm reading about is where he crashed. It occurred, according to the L.A. Times, and we don't know the area that well, but they described it as a curvy, steep stretch of the boulevard, Hawthorne Boulevard. It's a major road where there are signs that warn trucks to use lower gears when traveling downhill. Huh. So it sounds like this is on a dangerous road to drive on. So if you're going at high speed.
And maybe he's not that familiar with the roads. Sure. It's not where he lives, right?
It may be as simple as that. He's going real fast, which we already have those reports from TMZ about, that he was speeding out there, that he's using and driving high speeds on a very dangerous road.
One guy's saying that the sheriff has said they did not interview him yet at the scene. But again, sometimes with Twitter, you know, I'll read it to you, but I can't confirm or deny that that's the case. But that's what one person is saying, that the sheriff has apparently said in some kind of release that they did not interview him at the scene. Mm. So that means once he comes out of anesthesia and he's settled and the leg has been stabilized, or both legs have been stabilized, then there's going to be a detective that's going to show up, knock, 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 Mr. Woods, do you have a moment? Got to start talking to you.
Right now, based on...
What took place? And by the way, it might be as simple as, I was driving too fast, I lost control of the car.
I tell you right now, with the evidence that's come out, I shouldn't say evidence, these stories that are coming out, courtesy of TMZ, courtesy of the information about the road he was on, that's what it sounds like. Does it not? Does it not sound like a guy driving really fast, recklessly,
yes,
on a road and
reckless
losing control?
Driving, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it. Let's just hope that he's clean. Let's hope, for everyone's sake, his included, that there's no prescription pills, or his blood alcohol was high from the night before, or whatever the case may be.
Mm.
I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. He's the only person hurt in the incident. But for some reason...
No, you don't want to hear
it makes
that,
the story a lot worse.
Yep.
If he's driving under the influence of something.
Of course.
There's no evidence yet that he was or wasn't. Right?
No, right now there's none.
So, let's just... I truly hope he wasn't. That it's nothing more than a bad accident, guy lost control of his car, knock on wood, he's going to live.
So far it sounds that way. So far it sounds that way, right. Luckily.
That's my hope, at least, on a human level.
No, I think most people would hope that. Who the hell wants to hear something like that? Who wants him having a problem?
I would hate it if it comes out that, you know, he was on pills or drink or whatever the case may be. Like, why even guess, right?
Well, luckily,
for some reason, that would make the story so much worse to me.
Of course, but luckily there's no evidence of it right now.
Well, I'm sure they already know, right?
Oh, they already know, but we don't know.
They've already done a blood alcohol on him, for sure, and checked for, you know, any kind of narcotics. There's no doubt about that. I don't know how long it takes to get your return on that. It's not, like, 2 minutes. I was thinking, like, if they wanted to be, they could. Don't you ever feel that way?
What do you mean? Get those returns that quickly?
God forbid you ever have to go to a hospital.
Right.
And they got to take blood for something. And then you're like, hey, what are the results of my blood? Oh, it's going to be a few hours. Don't you always feel like if they wanted to do it right away, they could?
Yeah.
Like, there's a guy waiting in the lab, like, okay, just waiting on some more blood.
If it was one person who had a test, and one very, very special, like the President of the United States, then, yeah, you would think they could get it quickly. But they're not getting it for me quickly. They're not getting it for you quickly, no offense. We're waiting the 4 hours. That guy in the lab's taking his time.
Oh, is this Mr. Roberts? Well, good day, sir. Yeah. Come back in 3 Wednesdays. We'll tell you if you've got high cholesterol.
That will let you know.
Yeah, it's so silly.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
the Tiger Woods press conference by the sheriff out there in Lomita. Sheriff, Mr. Villanueva.
Yes.
So he will give everyone an update on what's going on. We'll carry part of that live. They're now putting Tiger Woods' banged-up car on the flatbed tow truck.
Mm.
So that's the... it's a lot of coverage for a car accident, you know.
Oh, because it's Tiger, man.
No fatalities.
It's Tiger.
Thank God, right?
Dude, if you're ranking, like, the top athletes of the last 30 years from... we're not debating championships or success, just... from notoriety, dude, he's one of the top guys. He's Tiger Woods. Everyone knows who Tiger Woods is.
But you know what's weird? Like, he didn't die.
No, I know.
Like, people have to slow their roll on, you know, the eulogizing of Tiger Woods. Thank God he's alive.
Right.
So, I mean, do we really need to go down, you know, get a golf history lesson today?
No.
He's alive.
Thank God. He's going
to live.
Yes.
Which is a great thing, obviously. Got children.
Oh, I think, you know what I think it is? I think there's a fascination with everything about this and him. So the fascination.
And because of Kobe, no doubt.
Of course. Well, that was on all our brains when this came over the wire, even though there isn't really a wire, 3 hours ago. But I think there's a fascination of what happened. There's a fascination of what are the injuries. Then that will eventually lead, not yet, to is he going to golf again? That question will be asked.
And I can already tell you the answer. That's the farthest thing from our minds right now. Tiger had serious injuries to his legs. We have to now let him heal from those injuries and then, you know, follow course. Now, Mark Steinberg is arguably Tiger's best friend and has been his longtime agent since, like, jump. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say about it. He is extraordinarily protective of all things Tiger, as he should be.
And he's the guy who... I think calmed a lot of nerves this afternoon because he was the one who came out and said Tiger is dealing with leg injuries right now.
Yes, he was the first guy to say that.
And that was the first piece of news where I even said to you, hey, it's good news. I mean, obviously, yes, he's going to have surgery and a serious injury, but it was the first time you're like, okay, he's going to survive this.
Yeah.
He's not going to die. So he did reveal that information, I'd say, in probably like a half hour,
you know,
maybe 25 minutes after it occurred.
According to one of the sheriff's reports, Tiger was, you know, with it enough to say to whoever came, you know, to his rescue, can you call my manager to come get my stuff?
Right.
Like, think about that.
Yeah.
Like, your legs are banged up to the point where you need surgery. Make sure someone gets my stuff.
Right. He was thinking about that.
So,
where is his stuff,
maybe
by
injuries, knock on wood, aren't that bad.
Where is his stuff? Because we noticed they took all of his baggage outside of the car, nice and organized outside the car. The car is being taken away. Has the baggage been taken away?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, the police have to search all that first.
Oh, really? So they're going through it?
You got to search that to make sure there's nothing, quote-unquote, illicit.
Mm.
Right? Drugs, booze, weapons, any of that stuff. And then we ultimately have to find out what pissed Tiger off.
Well, yeah.
That he sped away from the hotel where they're doing the shoot.
And what was
at 7 o'clock in the morning, like,
well,
I know some ornery people in the morning, but to hop in your ride and bust out, like, that's crazy.
Well, wait a second. If he's got all his bags with him, is he leaving? Was he leaving California this morning?
Oh, you're asking me like I know.
Well, I'm asking a question out loud.
Maybe he just had his bags in the car.
All of his bags. And by the way, we saw the bags. Those are, I'm going home, I'm flying bags, right? Did you not see the baggage, the luggage?
I don't know what kind of bags they are, but they're personal bags, Evan, yes.
They looked like luggage.
Like, I'm going to do this shoot, and I'm out of here.
Yeah, I got to make a flight, even though I doubt he's flying commercial.
Yeah, he owns his own private jet.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not rushing.
Yes.
I think the Tiger Woods plane schedule is when he damn well wants to leave.
Yes, that's the beauty of private jet travel.
No, I'm thinking out loud.
When you show up, that's when you go.
Mm. God, that's amazing.
Although... there was one time I flew in a private jet that was not the case.
Explain.
I was taking a private jet to the Bahamas to go to Atlantis. I was going to gamble. You know, I took my whole family there.
Right.
And we were under the impression, exactly what I just said, the plane leaves when you get there.
Right.
Well, we got there like an hour and a half late for when we were supposed to take
an
off.
An hour and a half late?
Yeah, because we were like, take our time. And the pilot goes, look, can't fly to the Bahamas. Like, no. Like, my family, kids, luggage, we're going to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, not today, you're not. I can't take you because you can only fly a certain amount of hours in any 24-hour period. He goes, so I can't fly to the Bahamas. So I go, well, let me ask you a question. How far south can you legally fly? Mm-hmm. Like, if we take off now,
right?
How far can you fly? He goes, if we take off for the next 30 minutes, I can fly as far south as Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, all right, let's go to Carolina.
Really?
So we flew to Charleston, South Carolina.
Right.
Spent one night. First thing in the morning, the new clock started.
Oh,
so now we could fly to the Bahamas. So we spent one night in Charleston. And then the next morning, we flew to the Bahamas.
What made you say, let's go to Charleston? Just an adventure?
That's the farthest south he could fly.
I get that aspect of it, but why not just not go anywhere until he's able to fly?
Because I wasn't going back to my apartment and unpacking.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I wasn't thinking straight. I was looking at gambling.
No, I understand.
So we flew to Charleston, had a nice night in Charleston. I'd never been there before. Nice southern town.
Yeah.
8 o'clock the next morning, we flew to the Bahamas.
Wow.
There you go.
God, private jets. If there's one thing I would want if I was super rich, I told you I would still drive myself. Flying on a private jet would be incredible.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's got to be the best benefit
of being...
It's also
scary.
Oh, well.
I was on a private jet.
Because it's small?
And we lost pressure.
Oh, my God.
And it was like a Payne Stewart situation. Like, we're all going to pass out and die. So we had just taken off from Teterboro, and I see the pilot flipping through his manual. And
I'm that's like, a bad sign.
That's never a good sign.
No.
So I go to the front of the plane. I go, excuse me, what's going on? He goes, we don't want to alert your family, but we have a problem with the air cabin pressure. We have none. And we're all getting headaches.
God.
So like the process had started
where
we're going to start passing out, I guess.
Holy God.
I go, well, what's the deal?
Yeah.
He goes, we can't fly higher than, I think, like 3,000 feet. I go, well, land the plane.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Just get out, land.
He goes, we have a full tank of gas. You can't land a plane with a full tank of gas.
Why?
It'll explode.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
land too heavy.
Wow.
And the plane will explode. It'll bounce and explode. I go, well, then what's the plan? He said, we have to circle the Atlantic Ocean for a half hour dumping fuel. Then we'll be light enough to land.
Oh.
Where do you want to land? So we landed at Atlantic City International. I went to the Revel to play blackjack. In the 2 hours it took them to refuel and then get us back on a different plane to go fly to wherever we were going. That's how sick I was. We only had 2 hours. I'm like, well, we're in Atlantic City.
Right.
I'll go play blackjack. You guys have lunch. We'll come back. We'll fly to the Bahamas. Or I forget where we were going at the time.
How many times have you been on a private jet?
A bunch.
You got a lot of private jet experience.
Well, I was gambling an obscene amount of money, and they're happy to provide you with.
Oh, so they provide it?
Yes.
Jeez.
I wasn't paying for it.
Yeah, how they feed an addiction, basically. They just make it so easy
I'm
to do.
I'm not blaming them, but I'm willing to take them
I'm
up on it.
I'm not saying you're blaming. I'm giving you an observation based on what you're telling me. That's
yes.
all.
I was happy to say yes.
Okay.
So I never blame the casinos for my actions.
You didn't blame. I'm just making a comment that it seems like they do feed addictions by doing that.
Yes.
That's all.
I took private jets to Atlantic City save 45 minutes.
Get in a car, damn it.
Yeah.
Drive yourself.
Oh, you'll fly me there? Great. I'm on my way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sick.
Yeah,
absolutely sick.
You.
It's a disease. It's disgusting.
Sure, no.
Here's Mo in Brooklyn on the fan. Mo, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, guys. You have to help me with my memory.
Yeah.
Is this his third incident? He had the one where he crashed into his house, right? Then he was pulled over and there was suspicion of narcotics or something, right?
Yes, yes.
And then my question is, if you're off the road like he is, and your first concern is your stuff,
yeah,
it either means it's extremely valuable or sensitive.
Okay.
Why would you ask your manager to do that?
I guess he said to someone that, whether it's an EMT or a firefighter or a cop or something, can you somebody call my manager to come get my stuff? That's
right.
A report. I guess that'll be confirmed here in about 15 minutes or so. But you're being cynical, and I totally get it. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and how was he acting on the set of this commercial? Was he himself? You know, there's probably
right.
a lot of people. You know, if he's normal and then he gets into a car accident, it's one thing. But if he's very angry and there's a lot going on, then he almost runs over the director, there may be more to this story.
Yeah, we don't know the extent of the injuries that required surgery. We have no idea. You know, did he have a compound fracture? Did he just, you know, was it something else? Did he, Who knows what it was? Like, why even play the guessing game? That's silly, right?
Right, right.
So we're going to find out shortly. But it's not life-threatening. That's the key. And I understand the cynical nature of it. Well, he's had a problem in the past.
Well, that's what's led people to bringing that up, just based on his history, based on his past. But it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah.
Like the same thing with the video that people are referring to. Oh, look at the way he looked when Jim Nance was interviewing him. That doesn't mean anything.
This could be the most innocent thing that you've... Car crashes happen every day, and it's an innocent mistake. Lost control of the car, windy road, going too fast.
In a rush.
Yeah.
That's the way it sounds, honestly. Now, if you're just piecing around the evidence or the stories we've heard, the TMZ, the road he was on, it sounds like a dude that was in a rush.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
And you don't know the roads that well, and you take a turn too fast, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and thank God no one else is on the road. And you turn real quick to make up for the fast turn you didn't see coming.
Right.
And you roll the car over.
Yep.
You know? Sadly, that exact story happened in every state in America today.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Just wasn't Tiger Woods.
Right. This wasn't the most famous athlete it happened to, and that's why we analyze every second of it.
Mike is in New Jersey on the Fan. Mike, good afternoon. How are you, buddy?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good.
This great show. It makes a long drive home much easier listening to you guys. So I appreciate it. Real quick, the first person on the scene, no matter who they are, cop, fireman, paramedic, the first question they're going to ask is, was anybody else in the car with you?
Right.
You know, if he's going over an embankment or a cliff or something like that, very easy for someone to get ejected. Second thing with his stuff, that's kind of a red flag when you're worried about all your personal stuff and quick, have someone come here and get this. To me, that's a red flag.
So that's as a police officer, that I know the other caller was just being cynical based on Tiger's past. In your experience, that wouldn't jive with something that would be all that important to somebody at the scene, is what you're saying.
Not really, but it is him, so
sure.
He might have an expensive watch. He may have, stuff in there that he just doesn't want to lost. It could be. In New Jersey, they have something called an inventory search.
Okay.
And if you're taking all the personal belongings from somebody, you're not going to leave it with the car because you're responsible for it. So you're going to take it and you're going to inventory it and secure it.
And let me ask you this. Am I right when I assume that's a pretty invasive search because you want to make sure there's no drugs, prescription pills, booze, that kind of stuff?
No, you're not doing the search to look for any contraband.
You're not doing
the search to do an accounting of the person's belongings so they can't come back later on and say, "Oh my, I had a $5,000 watch."
Got it. So you're itemizing everything so the guy can't say, sue you civilly, hey, where'd my Rolex go? You're doing it more for that. So at what point would, other than searching his person, would you ever search the bags for drugs or booze or anything?
No, you're not going to do that unless there's probable cause to do that. But you are going to do that to do an inventory search.
So you'd find it either way. I got you.
Right. So now you're doing that inventory search and you find some kind of contraband or anything like that. The inventory search stops and now you got to get a warrant. Mm.
Got it. Okay. Because then you got to follow all the policies so that it's a legal search and seizure. You're getting the stuff above board. I got all that. All right. Thank you so much.
And that's New Jersey. That's New Jersey. So every state.
Well, that's the other thing. Every state's going to have different laws around that.
I hear you, Mike. Thanks so much, pal. Stay safe.
Right.
I think there's some rules that are probably pretty uniform. I recognize every state's a little bit different, especially California. But you still have to have probable cause to search someone's stuff.
Yeah, I don't think every single car accident leads to a search in detail of what was in that car.
It's nuts, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.